we do want to know you more. We love you, Lord. God, as we open your word now together, let your spirit speak to our hearts. We desire to be like you. We desire to know you, and we thank you for this time that we can together worship, that we can together pray. God, I invite you into this place to speak to our hearts now. Amen. Well, I want to thank you very, very much for joining us today. We've been on this journey. I need to move my water so I don't send it flying. We've been on this journey talking about a story that leads to Jesus. And we're going to continue that again today. But I want to start with just a question. And my question is this: what comes to mind when I say not enough? And it actually makes me almost giggle, because one of the things that comes to mind, I've been watching my daughter's high school basketball games, and it's so much fun. But there's this girl on the team who's like a mini giant. Not really mini giant, probably just a real giant. I'm just really short in comparison. But when she stands on her tippy toes and holds the ball on her fingertips, the other players just attempt to get there. And they can't even, like, they're jumping and they can't even tap the ball. And this one parent from the audience shouted, "Not enough!" And I'm like, that's the story of my basketball career. Not enough height. There's just not enough. And another story comes to mind when I think of not enough, too. It was when I was probably, I wasn't yet driving, so probably 15-ish. And I worked at a summer camp. And before I went in June, one of my parents would take me to Lloyd, because I lived in a small town. So they'd take me to the store. And my dad took me this time, and he's like, "How much money do you need to get the supplies that you have for camp?" And so I did a little estimate in my head, and he dropped me off and left. And this is before I didn't have a debit card, I didn't have a credit card, and I didn't have a cell phone to bail me out later. Because I just went and stopped, and I gathered all the things that I thought I really needed. And then I went to the till, and they scanned them all through, and I looked at the money in my hand. I'm like, not enough. It's like sick. And there was this whole audience there to watch me one by one decide what was in the bags that I'd intended to take home that I no longer needed. And it was a really hard lesson to learn, but it was just this moment of not enough. And while I giggle at those not enough now, the not enough that stir in my heart are much harder than that. The not enough that tug at my heart are the starving children in the world. I don't have enough to feed them all. When I think of the not enough that continue, I don't have enough places to give everybody a home. I don't have enough. And I can be kind of paralyzed by what I don't have. There are not enough, and that's what we're going to call them today, are our onlys. I only have this much, and it's just not enough. And so today, as we use those ideas to kind of prep our hearts and minds, I want to continue this series about a story that leads to Jesus. Because there's something really special in the story that we're going to talk about today, when our not enough lead to Jesus. And so I want us to turn, if you brought your Bible, open it up to John 6. If you're a phone person, I'd invite you to go there. And I wanted us to look at a story in the New Testament. We spent a lot of time in the Old Testament. Today I'm going to move us ahead to the New Testament, where we look at a story, literally, of people that their stories led directly to Jesus. And I want to talk about our not enough in light of this. So turn to John 6, 1-15 with me. And if this account is recorded in all four of the Gospels. Today we're going to kind of pull from the other Gospels as well, but we're going to mostly stay to the account in John. And my Bible has the heading, Jesus Feeds the 5,000. But today as we look at this story, I don't want to look at it from the perspective of the crowd, so much as from the perspective of the disciples and of the little boy, with this idea of not having enough. So let's read it together. After this, Jesus crossed over to the far side of the Sea of Galilee, also known as the Sea of Tiberias. A huge crowd kept following him wherever he went because they saw his miraculous signs as he healed the sick. Then Jesus climbed the hill and sat down with his disciples around him. It was nearly time for the Jewish Passover celebration. Jesus soon saw the huge crowd coming to look for him. And turning to Philip, one of his disciples, he said, "Where can we buy bread to feed all these people?" He was testing Philip, for he already knew what he was going to do. Philip replied, "Even if we worked for months, we would not have enough money to feed them." Then Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. There's a young boy here with 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. But what good is that in this huge crowd? Tell everyone to sit down, Jesus said. So they all sat down on the grassy slope. The men alone numbered about 5,000. Then Jesus took the loaves, gave thanks to God, and distributed them to the people. Afterward, he did the same with the fish, and they all ate as much as they wanted. After everyone was full, Jesus told his disciples, "Now gather the leftovers so that nothing is wasted." So they picked up the pieces and filled 12 baskets with scraps left by the people who'd eaten from the 5 barley loaves. When the people saw him do this miraculous sign, they exclaimed, "Surely he is the prophet that we've been expecting." And when Jesus saw they were ready to force him to be their king, he slipped away into the hills by himself. I love this account. It's only in John that we hear that it was a little boy's lunch. The other accounts just simply refer to the 5 loaves and the 2 fish. It's probably why today I want to just hang out in John a little bit. I have a lot of questions about that little boy, and we're going to get into them in a little more detail, but questions like, was he there by himself? Was he just a kid that morning who was out for adventure and happened to get caught up in a crowd going a certain way? I have so much fun just thinking about this little boy, but before we focus on the little boy, I want to talk about the scenario at hand. Because the need for food was great, and there was not enough. That small amount of food there was only this much. It was a drop in the bucket of what actually was needed. But it wasn't the only not enough that day. Because the disciples were actually feeling like they didn't have enough that day. Not just money-wise. If you look back to Mark's account, it gives you a little more picture of how the disciples were feeling. Jesus had just sent them all out on mission. They'd gone out. And they'd gone to different towns teaching everywhere. And John the Baptist had actually just been beheaded too. And these tired disciples who were grieving had gathered with Jesus to just kind of catch a breath of fresh air. Mark 6:31 says, "Let's go off by ourselves to a quiet place and rest a while." And that's what they were anticipating on this day. I don't think they were probably really thrilled at this crowd of people that kept following because they just wanted some Jesus time and some rest together. But when Jesus noticed the people, he had compassion on them. When Jesus noticed the people, he said that they were like sheep without a shepherd, and he turned his attention to them and began to teach. But I wonder if you've ever felt like the disciples that day. I wonder if you've ever been like, you've just used up your last ounce of energy, and you were finally going to get a break and get to have a little bit of rest when something else lands in your lap. And you just feel like, I do not have enough right now. Because that's where the disciples were at that day. They were in need of some quiet time. They just needed to rest. And at that moment, they were probably thinking, I don't have enough in me. Have you ever felt like that? The need was also great for food. It wasn't just the disciples' emotional and mental capacity. The people were very, very hungry. Mark shows us they'd been following Jesus for a long time. They hadn't had a lot of food, but it wasn't just a lack of food for that day. There was a general lack of food for all of them always. They were hungry people. While Jesus was feeding their spiritual need, though, he was also very aware of their physical need. Mark Buchanan describes the crowd that was following in this way. He says, these people were not just a tad peckish. They were deeply, desperately hungry. Hunger was their constant companion and nemesis. It wasn't just one meal that they needed. And he says that the story takes on a darker hue and Christ's compassion a higher radiance when we understand how hungry they were. We need to be realistic about the magnitude of this task. So when Jesus asked Philip, where is there enough bread? Where can we find bread for all these people? The task seemed impossible. Philip didn't just not have enough mentally and emotionally. He did not possibly have enough money or food to feed these people. He was tired and grieving and exhausted. And the task was beyond what he could do. In Matthew 14, we see that the disciples actually suggested that Jesus send the people away, so that they could go to the towns and get some food.
You'll see, it's like, let's send the crowds away so they can go to the villages. Jesus had cared for their spiritual need, and it wouldn't have even seemed all that unloving to say, here, now I've taught you, let's just close the evening now, and you can head off to go get some food on your own. And I'm guessing some of the disciples might have felt like that might be a really nice idea. They could go back to their rest, they'd done something. And Jesus says, no, that's not the plan. You're going to feed them, I'm going to feed them. And I'm curious how the disciples felt in that moment. From a place of full energy, we can sometimes in our brain go back to this, to remembering the past, the number of times God's been faithful over and over and over, and the way that he's met our needs. But sometimes when we're exhausted, it's really hard to draw on those memories. And we get stuck by looking at what we hold and we say, I just don't have it. Instead of remembering. And I love that Jesus doesn't like reprimand the disciples for being in that space. He just loves them. And he uses this opportunity to teach them to remind him who he is and to show the crowds who he is. And into this moment enters the little boy. The little boy who never ever gets a name in Scripture. We have no idea what his name is. I loved Sid preached a few weeks ago about another unnamed child. And this little boy enters into this scene. And I wonder about this little boy's lunch. Because I wonder how many disciples it took for him to show his lunch to before somebody actually brought it to Jesus. And maybe I'm just wondering. There's no reason to wonder that. But I'm just curious. Because this little boy's lunch was not meant with any relief. It's not like they looked at it and said, oh, thank you so much. That solves the problem exactly. I wonder if he like chased after people going, but I've got this, but I've got this, because kids are just a little bit like that. The lunch was small. It's the I only have. John 6:8-9 is Andrew's response. And he says, there's a young boy here with 5 loaves and 2 fish. But what good is that? What good is that? Have you ever saw all the needs around you and looked at what you had and thought, but what good is this? Matthew 14:17 uses the word only. It says, but we only have 5 loaves and 2 fish. We only. Have you ever used the word only like that? This little lunch was almost a joke. This little lunch also indicated something about this little boy. You see, barley, by its very nature, was known as the bread of the poor. This little boy's lunch did not come from a home of plenty. Probably food was hard to come by, and yet this little boy offered it. And I love that about him. My pages are very stuck. This little boy offered what he had, and it makes me ask a bunch of questions about this little boy, even about the crowd. Like, do I really believe in that huge crowd of 5,000 men plus women and children that nobody else had a little food tucked in their pocket that day? I don't know. Maybe. But maybe there were just a bunch of people going, I only have this much. I've only got this. What good is this in a crowd like this? Or I'm just going to keep it for myself because I need to make it home later. That little child, I picture him leaving in the morning, and us moms know full well that that child probably did not pack his own lunch that day. It was probably the fact that as he bolted out the door, she called him back and tucked something in his bag, because that's kind of just what moms do. And it was intended for one child. It was a lunch for a child. But he offered what he had. And I want to just talk about children for a minute, because I think there's something to learn in this. I love so many things about children. When Scripture teaches us or tells us that we must become like little children to enter the kingdom of heaven, I think about stories like this. I think about a tiny meal that was offered that was ludicrously inadequate to meet the need. I think about the way that children, in their innocence, offer what they have without considering it, if it's enough. It's like the child offering their allowance to help pay a huge bill or something like that. I think about the way that children can be overly generous because they have no concept of the cost of everyday life. They've never bought groceries. They've never paid a bill. And I think about all the lessons we can learn from a child. And I wonder how I can be more like the little boy that offered his lunch that day. You see, we so quickly think at a marketplace level. We've done the math, and we know it won't work. Or we consider how we're feeling, and we're just like, I don't have it in me to even try. We only have this much, and we happen to know the need is great, and this is not enough. And so we put our hands in our pockets. But maybe we need to think bigger and smaller at the same time. Maybe we need to think bigger about what Jesus can do and a little smaller about what it is that we're expected to bring to the table. As I was studying for this, I was drawn to a verse in Zechariah that had never just jumped off the page quite like it did in this time, and I'm continuing to mull it over. It's written at a time when a remnant had been sent back to rebuild the second temple. And there were some rumblings because the second temple was not as big as the first. It was not going to be as glamorous or glorious, and, you know, there was this whole little discontent about that. And Zechariah 4:10 is the response. It says, "Do not despise small beginnings or small things, for the Lord rejoices to see the work begin, to see the plumb line in Zerubbabel's hand." You see, at the marketplace level, we can get so caught up in looking at the wrong things. Do not despise small things, for the Lord rejoices to see the work begin. We can look at the size and we can entirely miss the God perspective. And over in Scripture, we see God using the small to do something big. We can see the onlys and the not enoughs and decide that it's not worth trying. Well, God rejoices in the small beginning. We look at small and we see less. But over and over, God uses the little to do the big. The need was great, the lunch was small, but when this story led to Jesus, the only became overflow. The only became overflow. John 6:11-13. Then Jesus took the loaves, gave thanks to God, distributed them to the people. Afterward, he did the same with the fish, and they all ate as much as they wanted, and everyone was full. After everyone was full, Jesus told the disciples, "Gather the leftovers, for nothing is wasted." And they picked up 12 baskets of leftovers from 5 barley loaves. I think there's interesting aspects to this passage too. I love that there was this element of crowd control. Jesus knew people so well. They were really hungry people. And when suddenly there was an opportunity for food, he had the plan already ahead for them to be seated and organized and settled. There was no, like, rush because they lived in a world of scarcity. And yet he knew there was going to be abundance. When we look at him distributing the bread, it brings back to the Old Testament. It kind of alludes back to that where the manna was provided to the Israelites. But there's one key difference in this. In the Old Testament, just enough manna was provided, exactly what was needed. But here in the New Testament, we watch Jesus giving with abundance. There is so much left over, but it's not wasted. It's gathered. They pick these up and fill 12 baskets. And 12 is a special number in the Bible often. And likely this alludes to the 12 tribes of Israel. It's likely a message that says Jesus has enough to more than meet the needs of his people. A lunch far too small to solve the problem, given by a boy whose story led to Jesus. Perhaps it isn't about quantity or capacity. Maybe it isn't about abundance, but about our willingness to release what we have in our hand. Perhaps it isn't about the capacity that I have, but the person who's asking me to use who I am. You see, I see myself in this story in a few different places. I've been the disciples. I've been tired. I've wanted to just take a break and rest when something else landed my way. But I've also had moments when I've been the little boy. The one who simply said, "Well, here's what I have." And I've watched Jesus do amazing things with it. And I'm not sure what part of this story might resonate with you today. But I guess I want to just pose this question. Have you ever felt God prompting you to let him use your only? Our onlys go beyond material goods. The disciples' only wasn't just financial and material. It was also mental, emotional, spiritual. Our eyes can get so focused on the only. The only can be a reflection of our schedule, our living situation, our work, of our person. There are times in my life when I've declared my onlys to Jesus. One of them was I said over and over, I only teach children. It was an only he asked me to release. When Jesus asks for our only, it's because he can do more than we ask or imagine. He is a multiplier. He's the one who takes the only and he makes it into overflow. And not overflow for our personal benefit. Overflow for a kingdom benefit, a blessing, that blessing we've been talking about. God's blessing all around us. Do you have an only he's asking you to release? I only have this much energy. I only have this much time. I only have this much capacity. I only have this much money. I only teach children. I only, you finish it. And I'm not suggesting that we run ourselves to a state of burnout. God doesn't ask that of us. There is a time to rest. There's a reason to budget. But every now and then, there's a moment when Jesus might be saying, do you have a little lunch so I can feed a multitude? The need was great. The lunch was small. And the story led to Jesus where the only turned to overflow. When we surrender our onlys to Jesus, he multiplies them. He sees the needs of people all around us and he cares deeply. When our stories and our onlys are given to Jesus, he uses them and multiplies them in ways we never imagined. Jesus uses those onlys to demonstrate his overflow. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, when we look at what is in our hands and we consider how much we have to offer, we know that it is not enough. We cannot meet the needs, all of the needs of this hungry, hurting world around us. But Father, help us not to tuck our hands in our pockets in defeat. Because you take the only and you turn it into overflow. You don't ask for more than what we have, but you invite us to be part of what you're doing by simply releasing what we have in our hands. You can do great and amazing things. And you invite us to be part of it by simply contributing what you ask for. Father, help us to have courage. Help us to have the courage not to say it's not enough. Help us to release that so that we can watch you make our not enough into more than enough. Help us to give our onlys to you so we can watch you turn them into overflow. May we be part of your kingdom work here on earth. Amen.